cause I'm feeling kinda taller than you
lately.
I'm feeling kinda stronger than you
lately.
I'm feeling kinda better than you,
and I know just what
matters. I'm a soldier now in this world. I stand alone, I can't be strong. I walk the miles, I made it home. It's good to know without you I made it. Soldier girl in my world, I took the fall.
Hey everybody, this is Trinity Sunshine, retired Coast Guard Chief Petty Officer, host of the nationally syndicated radio talk show host Ask the Chief here at WDRBmedia.com. And I'm also the founder of SistersInSilence.org, an organization that provides directories and support services for women veterans, women first responders, and women who are in law enforcement. You know, July came in celebrating the 250-year celebration of this country. And it seems that we are acting as though we are still walking in 50 years ago, 100 years ago. And to be such a great country, such a country of prominence on the world stage, it's really been some trying days here in July of 2026. One of the things that's really on my heart is the young man, Nolan Xavier Wells, the young Black man in Mississippi who lost his life at the hands of people pretending to be his friends, young people whose parents had them do some dastardly deeding, at their beckoning, it seems so far. The investigation continues to turn over. But that's just really been weighing on me. I am a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety. And those things can really get to me at times, because I know that as a country and as humans, we can do better. And so from most times, I like to really include a prayer and meditation with my show segment. So today I want to take time to do that right now. And the verse that I'm just really on my heart right now is Psalms 91, verse 11, which says, "For he will command his angels concerning you and guard you in all of your ways." And the meditation and prayer that goes along with that, this is from my woman's Bible reading that I do every day. It says, "In the bustling throngs of life, where the rich and famous walk cloaked in the vigilance of their personal sentinels, it may seem that ordinary souls tread on an unprotected path. The world can be an unpredictable theater, stages set for both the seen dangers and the invisible perils that weave through our daily scripts. A step outside of our threshold could be a step into uncertainty. Schools, workplaces, marketplaces, even a potential backdrop for trials that test our spirit. But let not your heart be troubled by the unseen arrows, nor your mind be silent, be a silent battleground for despair and self-reproach. For within the whispers of faith lies a profound truth, an assurance that eclipses the need for earthly guards. It is the promise that we are cradled in the care of celestial guardians appointed by the Almighty Himself. Like a mother hen shielding her chicks, our God has deployed His angelic host to encircle us, their unseen wings a fortress that no earthly power can breach. We walk not in the solitude, but in the company of these divine warriors, each step watched, each breath counted by our heavenly escorts. Our adversaries, both mortal and spectral, may plot and scheme, but their designs are rendered futile under the protectors, under the vigilant gaze of these divine protectors. With the Lord as our sovereign commander, we can rest assured that our journey through life is overseen by a legion of heavenly guardians, ever present and ever faithful. Dearest Lord, in the quiet sanctuary of my heart, I lift my voice in gratitude for the unseen guardians you have arrayed around me. With a spirit both humbled and reassured, I acknowledge your loving provision of angelic sentries. May I continue to walk in confidence, not in my own strength, but in the knowledge of your divine protection that envelops me. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus Christ, I offer this prayer, trusting in your eternal promise to shield and guide me. Amen.
Hey, y'all, it is official. You are now tuned in to Ask the Chief Radio Show, proudly and powerfully sponsored through the full indirect sponsorship of WDRB Media, the voice of the community, the pulse of the people, and now an unwavering ally to the women who have worn its nation's uniform. And family, let me tell you something. This partnership is not just a blessing. It is a breakthrough. It is a declaration that the stories, the struggles, the brilliance, and the brilliance of women veterans no longer needs to be whispered in the shadows or buried beneath other news stories, buried beneath the noise of the world that too often forgets who stands guards for its freedoms. WDRB Media has opened its platform, its reach, and its resources to elevate the voices of women veterans locally, nationally, and globally. And that matters because when a woman veteran speaks, she is just not telling a story. She is testifying, she is teaching, she is healing, she is warning, she is leading, she is lifting an entire generation behind her. This sponsorship means our conversations can now travel farther. Our advocacy will hit harder and our truth will echo longer. And our community, the women who serve, the women who sacrifice, the women who carried the weight of duty on their backs and still hold it together, finally have a megaphone big enough to match our courage. To WDRB Media, thank you so much for seeing us. Thank you for valuing us. Thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with a community that has carried this nation through war, disaster, discrimination, and silence. And still we rise. To every woman veteran listening now, whether you've served in combat boots, dress blues, or behind the scenes making the impossible happen, this sponsorship is for you. This platform is for you. This movement is for you. And as long as this microphone is in front of me, your voice will never be ignored. Tune in to Ask the Chief Radio Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to download the Apple Music or the TuneIn Radio app. You can find us on Streama and at WDRBmedia.com. Click on the Listen Live logos. That's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am Trinity Sunshine, nationally syndicated radio talk show host, U.S. Coast Guard retired Chief Petty Officer, and founder of SistersInSilence.org. I'm your military sister advocate on the airways. And this right here, this is Ask the Chief Radio Show on WDRB Media. Let's get it in.
Hey, welcome back. I close off the last segment just letting you know that I'm hoping that you're surrounded by people that encourage you and just let you know how important you are and how appreciated you are. That's very important. And if you're spending a lot of time giving of yourself and you find yourself empty, that may be an indication that you're in the wrong circle. That may be an indication that you're around people that are not really giving you what you need. And it's okay to have those discussions and conversations and recognize those things sometimes and make some changes along the way. You know, It's okay to look after yourself and want to receive, not always having to just be the one that is there and standing in the gap for other people. I just want you to know that you are a vital necessity. You're more than just that person who can bear it, the person who never complains. You're more than that. You are a vital necessity during your military service and after. And I say this a lot, and I always want people to know that I approach my show and talk about my experiences in the military from a woman's perspective, because that's the perspective I have. That's who I am. So I am wanting to always speak directly to the women who have served in uniform, who've served in silence, who've served in strength and in survival. And a lot of women leave the military and they go into law enforcement. They become first responders. They just have a heart for service. And that is my true calling to address you ladies, to let you know that I am here for you and that I appreciate you. If no one else says it, I want to say it and I want it to be heard. It's genuine. It comes from my heart. And one of the biggest signs of respect in the military is a salute. I'll also always say, I salute you. I opened my show with Whitney Houston's song, Salute. A lot of people had never heard that song before, but I remember when I heard it, it was just always something that would uplift me. And Whitney's one of those people. I never met her personally, but every time I hear her voice, I just feel like I miss a friend. Like she was a girlfriend that I feel like we would have really been cool, So, but anyway, I want to just really focus for a minute now on talking to my women who are serving and women who have served and have come out and continue to serve as mothers, as wives, as leaders within the community. There's a truth that you may not hear often enough, but it's time that you hear it clearly. You are a vital necessity, not just during your time in service, but long, 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 long after. Today, you are a vital necessity. Your value didn't start with the contract, and it doesn't end with a discharge. Your worth is not tied to your rank, a ribbon, or a role, or a medal. You are essential because of who you are, not just what you did. When you serve, you bring something into the mission that cannot be replicated, replaced, or manufactured. You bring perspective, the ability to see what others overlook. You bring precision, the instinct to catch what others miss. You bring presence, the calm and chaos, the order and disorder, the humanity in the middle of a machine. You bring emotional intelligence, strategic thinking, adaptability. Y'all be putting all this on your resume, taking notes. And courage that is often underestimated, but always needed. And I'm going to say this part again. You bring emotional intelligence, strategic thinking, adaptability, and courage that is often underestimated, but it's always needed. You are a vital necessity. You are the one who notices the shift in the room, the one who senses danger before it's spoken, the one who holds the line when others hesitate. So let's be honest, you're often the one who carries the invisible weight of expectations, of proving yourself, of surviving what others deny, of being strong even when you're hurting. And even under all that pressure, you serve with excellence and integrity, and you serve with heart. And that makes you a vital necessity. And here's the part that people don't talk about enough. Your necessity doesn't end when your service ends. When your uniform comes off, your impact doesn't disappear. Your leadership doesn't evaporate. Your strength doesn't retire. You carry that forward. That's who you've become. That is the fabric of who that you're woven, that has been woven into your person, into your DNA. That's how you speak. That's how you stand. That's how you answer. That's how you comprehend. The discipline you built, the resilience, you earned that. Your wisdom, you paid for it. The courage, you refined it. The instincts that kept you alive, the compassion that kept others going, you are a vital necessity in your community, in your family, in your workplace, in every room and space you walk into. You are a vital necessity because your service changes you permanently. It permanently sharpens your mind. It permanently deepens your empathy. It strengthens your backbone and it expands your capacity to receive whatever comes your way, to stand in it 10 toes down. You don't stop being a leader just because you stop wearing the uniform. You don't stop being essential just because the mission changes. You are still needed, relevant, powerful, and necessary. Many women who serve carry things the world never sees, trauma that we never asked for, memories that we don't choose, strength that we had to build, silence that we were forced into, and battles that we fought alone while defending everyone else. And yet we continue to rise. You are a vital necessity. You rise in the morning when your body aches. You rise in conversations when people don't understand. You rise in rooms where your story is too heavy for others to hold. You rise in moments when your past tries to pull you back. And that rising, that resilience, is not just admirable. It is necessary. It's necessary for you to inhale and exhale. It's necessary for you to breathe. That rising is necessary because your survival teaches others how to survive. Your courage gives others permission to be courageous. Your voice opens doors for women who haven't found theirs yet. You are vital. You are a vital necessity because your existence shifts the culture. Your truth disrupts the silence. Your presence changes the atmosphere. Your service didn't end, it evolved. Now your mission might look like raising a family, leading a team, building a business, healing from what happened, advocating for others, reclaiming your identity, and resting. Finally, resting. Your mission may look like resting. Take that time. But make no mistake, you are still serving. You're still leading. You're still necessary. Your story matters. Your healing matters. Your voice and your life matter. And the world is a better place because you're still here. So to every woman who has served and every woman still serving, hear me clearly. You are a vital necessity during your service, after your service, beyond your service. Your worth is not up for debate. Don't even entertain that. Your impact is not up for negotiation. Your presence is not optional. You are needed. You are valued. You are irreplaceable. Remember that. This is Trinity Sunshine reminding you to stand tall, stand grounded, stand in your truth, because the world needs what you carry and it needs you. You are a vital necessity. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ask the Chief this week. This has been exciting for me, and I think I went into something in the first segment that I didn't even think that I hadn't even planned to talk about, and that was forgiveness for those who had harmed me along the way. So this show encourages me and builds me up, and I hope I'm doing the same for you. Stand by. I'll be right back.
I don't need you to love me. I don't need you to love. I've got I've got
I've got my sister. I can feel her now. She may not be here, but she's still mine, and I know she still loves me. I've got my children. I can't hold them now. They may not be here, but they still mine, and I hope they know I still love them. I've got my house, it still keeps the cold.
Ask the Chief Radio Show, amplified by WDRB Media. Strong, unfiltered, and unstoppable.
Here's a WDRB Ask the Chief Radio Show throwback.
I want to talk about why it's harmful to tell a woman who serves how you would have reacted to sexual trauma. Let's talk about that. And we're stepping into this conversation because it matters deeply to women who serve this country in uniform, whether that uniform is military, law enforcement, or first responder gear. Because across all of these professions, one harmful comment shows up far too often, and it's the moment someone hears that a woman, a service member, officer, or first responder survived sexual trauma. And they respond with, well, if it were me, I would have fought back, reported it, or never let it happen. These words might feel harmless to the person saying it, but to the survivor, they land like judgment wrapped in imagination. When someone says, I would have reacted differently, what the survivor hears is, you should have done more. You failed to protect yourself. You're responsible for what happened. And none of that is true. You see, sexual trauma in the military, within law enforcement, and first responder environments happens because inside systems are built on hierarchy and rank and power and silence. It happens in workplaces where your safety, your paycheck, your housing, your reputation, and your future are tied to every one of the people who may be harming you. So when someone imagines how they would have reacted, they're imagining a world without pressures, a world where retaliation isn't real, where reporting is safe, a world where the institution doesn't close ranks and survivors don't live in that world. Your I would have doesn't apply to where I live. Because when we start talking about the psychology of trauma, there's that the body's involuntary response to danger. And I talked about that last week on the show. Because when someone is assaulted, the body can freeze and your muscles lock, your speech shuts down, the brain goes into survival mode. And it's not weakness, it's biology. It's just your body's natural response to how do I survive this thing? When someone says, I would have fought back, they're ignoring the fact that the body often takes over long before the mind can even make a choice. So survivors don't choose to freeze. Their bodies are trying to keep them alive. Now you add the environment shared by all three professions. Whether you're a woman veteran, law enforcement, or first responder, you're serving in a male-dominated workforce built on rank, chain of command, obedience, loyalty, silence, and the expectation to push through. You're trained to endure, to follow orders, to put the mission, the team, and the public before yourself. And when the person harming you outranks you, they supervise you, they work beside you every shift, the danger isn't just physical, it's professional, it's social, it's financial, it's psychological. You imagine working next to that day and day and day, hoping for a transfer for you or for them, looking forward to the next call out, sick day. I'll take the fire truck on the other side of town. So when somebody says, I would have reported it, they're imagining a world where reporting doesn't destroy your career or your reputation or your sense of belonging. It doesn't destroy your relationships with your peers and coworkers and friends that you may have had, that now there's a choice in who you have to be loyal to. And for many women who serve in this country and around the world, reporting means punishment, not protection. And let me say this clearly, because it needs to be said. When someone tells a woman who serves how they would have reacted, they are ignoring the fact that she already used a level of courage that they've never had to summon. Because you know what? It takes courage to stay silent when speaking up could cost you everything. It takes courage to report when you know the system might turn on you. It takes courage to keep serving while carrying a wound that no one can see. It takes courage to walk back into a uniform after someone in uniform violated you. It takes courage to rebuild yourself in a system that didn't protect you. The people who say I would have done this are speaking from the safety of imagination. We act from the reality of danger. We live in the reality of danger. We perform in the reality of danger. We survive, we thrive, and we make a difference from the reality of danger. It's easy to speak from comfort, but we survive in chaos. It's easy to speak from theory, and we survive in practice. It's easy to speak from a world where courage is hypothetical and not even developed. We live in a world where courage is required just to make it to the next day. So when someone says, I would have reacted differently, what they're really saying is, I have no idea what it took for you to survive. And that's really what the truth is. So don't make yourself look silly. Just don't say that. Because comments like these don't support survivors. It shames them, whether it is intentional or not. Those comments come from a root of derision. They have no positive valuation at all. They create guilt where there should be compassion. They create distance where there should be connection. They create judgment where there should be understanding. Women who serve already carry enough weight. We don't need someone else's imagined bravery added to our load. So if you truly want to support a woman veteran, a woman officer, a woman first responder who have survived sexual trauma, this will help. I'm sorry that happened to you. Thank you for trusting me with this. You didn't deserve any of that. Your reaction was human. Your survival speaks to your strength. These words don't compare and they don't judge. They don't rewrite my story from your imagination or give you authority to tell me how awful I am at being myself. Simply honor my truth and sit in your silence if you have nothing else to say. People don't intend to offend when they say I would have if it was me. But that is inappropriate to say, period. So the next time you feel the urge to say that, pause. And it's okay, because if someone is sharing that with you, I guarantee you, you're not going to be the first person that said I would have did something different. It won't be the first time. So we're geared up for it, but we prefer not to hear it. So unless you were in my body, in my uniform, in my chain of command, or in my moment, You can't say what you would have done. Women who serve in the military and law enforcement and on the front lines at first responders don't need your hypothetical courage. We need real compassion.